Welcome to a new edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have Harkesh Mittal, who is a very, very senior bureaucrat, technocrat on the show. Harkesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Harkesh is the advisor and head of the Innovation and Entrepreneurship Division. He is with the Science and Engineering Council, Department of Science and Technology, Government of India. So Harkesh, you just mentioned you were with the government for 30 years.
Yes.
Tell me about your early career and some of your learnings before we move into SERC.
Okay. Let me tell you, I was supposed to be an entrepreneur.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
When I was studying at IMA, I had my business plan ready. Mm-hmm. My industrial was allocated. I was to graduate and start my own business.
Okay.
One of my professors there, he said that, Harkesh, since you want to be an entrepreneur and there's this new institute which has come up, that's mm-hmm. the Entrepreneurship Development Institute of India, mm-hmm. And they are organizing a program called How to Start Your Own Business.
Okay.
So you go and attend that program. Well, I went and participated in that program and I was very impressed with one of the speakers there, one Dr. Rawal.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to know everything about small scale industry. So I thought that if I work with this gentleman for 1 or 2 years, I'll have all the knowledge about small scale industry and then I'll be very successful. Well, with that hope, I gave up my entrepreneurial dreams and went and joined that institute.
Okay.
For almost 35 years now, I have been preaching entrepreneurship but have never become one.
Amazing.
And let me also tell you that it is, in hindsight, I can now tell you that it was basically the fear of failure which stopped me from getting into entrepreneurship straight
away.
Amazing. So that's the early part of my journey.
Okay. So, you know, one more question before I come to your current role. I often think that the small scale industries that the government has always promoted, is really entrepreneurship at its best, isn't it? Startups and entrepreneurship?
Yes. See, government has been promoting all kinds of industries, but with a particular focus on small scale industries. Because the impact there is greater, mm-hmm. and the assistance required by the small scale industry or the startups is very different than what is required by the large scale industry.
Correct.
They can manage on their own, they can do things on their own. And they can also even to some extent even manipulate the market.
Correct.
But for a startup, all that is difficult and they require extra support.
Absolutely. So, you know, Harkesh, now moving to SERC. Yeah. Tell me about the kind of work you do.
Okay. Let me, in today's context, what would be important is my earlier role of the National Science and Technology Entrepreneurship Development Board.
Okay.
SERC is basically a policy making body for research programs. Mm-hmm. So I will, today's topic, let's restrict it to my role as the Science and Technology Entrepreneurship Development Board Head.
Okay.
So,
done.
Let me tell you what we do in the Science and Technology Entrepreneurship Development Board. This board was set up in the year 1982 with an idea to convert the scientists and technologists and the young students of science and technology to entrepreneurship. At that point of time, finding jobs for engineers, for technical people was very difficult. So one of the ideas was to convert those job seekers into job providers. That was the intent with which we started,
right?
With very limited success in the initial periods. In fact, between 84 to 91, we did not have much success. Mm. It was only in 91, that is after the
Narasimha Rao.
I won't say the political reasons.
Okay.
These were basically the reasons were what was happening in the country at mm-hmm. that point of time. Now, you remember there was Y2K problem, which
correct.
Had
which got most of Indian IT started.
Yes, that's when the so 91. In fact, right from 1995 onwards, mm. hordes of Indian IT professionals went abroad.
Correct.
And they now had experience of bicontinental strategy. They were experienced in US or Europe and in India.
Mm.
And once this problem whether I really don't know whether that problem existed or not, mm-hmm. but once that period was over, Y2K sure. was over, lots of them had to come back.
Correct.
And that's when they started thinking of entrepreneurship as a possible vocation. We at the point, at that point of time, although we were operational since 1984, 82 the board was established, we were operational since 1984. Now there was a demand pull from the youngsters who now to start their technology enterprises. Right. So we launched a program called Technology Business Incubators around that time, 91-92, we launched that program. And almost immediately, we had a lot of clientage coming into those technology business incubators.
Okay.
Today, we have 150 plus technology business incubators, mm-hmm. almost all IITs, IIMs, National Wonderful. Institutes of Technology, okay. private engineering colleges, universities, R&D labs, mm-hmm. and some of the exceptional ones like NID, National Institute of Design. Right. And so right. we have close to about 5,000 startups working in these incubators.
Wow.
And some of them have made a mark for themselves, mm-hmm. have done amazingly well. And all the support which we provide is directly through these incubators.
Okay. So, you know, since you talked about IT, I'm going to ask you a slightly provocative question. When I speak to senior IT people, they say that IT has grown
yes,
in spite of the government.
In spite of the
government. And I'm sure you've heard that.
Yes, yes.
And yet, I know that the government has a very strong role to play in development of entrepreneurship. What, in your view, is the role the government should play?
Okay. See, the role of the government has to be of a facilitator.
Correct.
The moment the government tries and steps in to do things on its own, then there's a problem.
Correct.
In most of the other cases, I have a feeling that the role of a facilitator mm-hmm. was sometimes taken over with the urge of doing the business themselves, doing the activities themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what actually stops the normal growth of a industry.
Correct.
And what we also in the government are very conscious of the fact is that we are not very nimble and very quick.
Hmm.
We are in fact very slow in sometimes in our decision making, which a startup doesn't want. Most of the programs now the government is conscious of, they are not churning out these programs themselves. It is through an intermediate agency.
Mm,
so that's what
I understand. So, you know, you just spoke about the incubators
yeah.
that are being managed under your supervision, if I can use that term. And you said 5,000 companies are there.
Yes.
Tell me, what kind of facilities does the government or the incubator provide? That's question one. And question two would be that if I'm a startup and I want to become a part of the incubator, what do you look for?
First of all, let me tell you, you must be joking when you say that you want to be a startup. You are a successful entrepreneur yourself.
No, not me, I mean, but any startup, because okay. thousands of people will watch our conversation.
Okay. First of all, people go to an incubator because they have a vague idea that they want to be an entrepreneur and this is what they want to do.
Yeah.
Now, this idea may not be a financially viable or a technologically feasible idea.
Correct.
So the first thing the incubator does is that it actually sharpens that idea mm-hmm. and tells them very bluntly that whether there's a likelihood of success or it is not going to.
So there's some kind of an evaluation that happens.
There's some okay. kind of an evaluation which happens, and the mentoring also is done at that stage.
Wonderful. Okay.
So that's the first stage. And I don't know whether I can share a story with you.
Absolutely. Or, by all means, please.
This is one story which is very close to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
We had one young Sardarji right here in Noida.
Mm-hmm.
His name was B.S. Mann. He was thinking of becoming an entrepreneur. And he didn't know what to do. He was searching for ideas. he went to this Shipra Sun City, a big housing complex in Noida. It has about 20,000 dwelling units. Sorry, 15,000 dwelling units. And there was a problem at that point of time that the cars in that complex were getting stolen.
Okay.
So he offered a solution to the builder, saying that I can fix this problem. So the builder was also interested because the real estate prices were not going up because of this. And so now he has offered this solution. But in his mind, he was not very clear as to what solution he will offer.
Correct.
So the builder immediately asked, tell me the idea. He said, no, I'll come back and give you a proper presentation. So 15 days later, there was an appointment fixed. So in the meantime, he worked out his plan. Basically, nothing great in technology, RFID technology, tags on the car at the gate. If they match, you go ahead.
Correct.
Now, there were 15,000 vehicles in that complex.
Wow.
And he said, I will charge 500 rupees per car per month to give this facility. 20,000 cars, 500 rupees. It's a neat, clean business of one crore a month.
Yeah.
1 crore a month. For a startup, this is a huge money. Huge money. And so he was very happy that this is, I've struck this deal. But business is not only on paper. You can't calculate 500 multiplied by.
Not a spreadsheet based.
Not a spreadsheet based. So when he went inside, there were three or four resident welfare associations who couldn't see eye to eye with each other.
Correct.
So as a result, only about 5,000 cars out of 20,000 cars took this automated system. Rest of the gates, there were 8 gates of the colony, 4 were still manual. And now there was the fights ensued there. The people who did not have the card would come to the gate and then start shouting at the gatekeeper, why don't you open?
Yeah.
All that, and the fights occurred. And his business was virtually bankrupt because he couldn't. Then he came back to the incubator, had a brainstorming session, and this is a very unique solution which he found. He employed deaf and dumb people as gatekeepers. So people would still come, start shouting at the gatekeeper. For initial month or two, there was a person who was normal.
Correct.
So this fellow sitting in the car is still shouting, you don't know who I am, and all that, which is very common in this.
Very family. Standard. Yeah, jante nahi main kaun hu.
Jante nahi main kaun hu. So for 1 month, this fellow, the normal fellow, will go at the driver's window, tap at the window, and he would say that, kyo chilla rahe ho? This fellow can't hear, he can't speak. This fellow is internally hurt, but overly he says, kaise kaise logon ko naukri pe rakh lete hain, what kind of people they employ, and, but he goes away to the other side. 31st of January 1998. The press covered this very well, that there are deaf and dumb people employed. So he took all the cuttings, made photocopies, put in all the houses. February 2099, he had 15,000 cars registered for the new system.
Wow.
Man became the biggest employer of deaf and dumb people in the world.
Amazing.
And this happened just
amazing. And this is truly thinking out of the box.
Amazing.
Wonderful. So let's move on. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about startups, because for 25 years you have supported them.
Yes.
So Harkesh, in your opinion and your understanding, and given the fact that we also know 9 out of 10 startups don't make it, what are some of the reasons that you think startups don't make it?
Okay.
Not everyone has access like Mr. Mann to a think tank.
Okay, let me tell you. First of all, I have a feeling that this figure of 1 out of 9 make it is not correct.
Okay.
The reason I say so is that maybe 1 out of 10 become fairly large.
Okay.
But it's not that all the rest of them don't make it. In my opinion, about 4 to 5 of them do survive. and do a reasonable business. The yes, there are failures, about 4 to 5 of them do fail very badly, miserably. And most of them fail in their early part. What we say is 1,000 days of starting a business.
That's about three years.
Right. Most of them fail during that period.
Okay.
Now, the cost of failure in a startup is there. But if you fail early, the cost is reduced. If you go on investing, you have not only money, but also time, energy. The degree of failure is higher if you if you succeed at if you fail at a later date. So that's my first take on this.
Okay.
The second thing is that startups fail basically because they do not get a good team. They don't form a good team. That's my first this thing. The second this thing is that most of the startups. It's for them, it is bad financial management. That's my second thing. Third is, especially for tech entrepreneurs, they are too engrossed in technology.
Right.
Nuts and bolts, without caring about the market, finance, people management is something which they, this is particularly of the tech startups.
That's true.
These are some of the
That's really well said. So therefore, you know, if one looks at the startup ecosystem, the truly gold standard is Silicon Valley.
Yes.
And yet we have a lot of places from a Bangalore to a Hyderabad to Gurgaon, Delhi, Pune, parts of Gujarat. What can the government do to create multiple Silicon Valley type of ecosystems in our country?
Okay. I have had an opportunity to go to Silicon Valley quite a number of times,
right.
And I do work with their startup ecosystem. First of all, I don't think Silicon Valley is a government initiative.
No, it's not.
It is purely private sector led initiative.
Absolutely, but I'm here. We depend a lot on the government.
Yes, yes. Now, first thing the government can do is that to make the facilities available. Mm. Which do not come up very naturally here. The second is very early stage finance, which we still don't have an angel investor or a early stage funding mechanisms. We have put them in place, but not
effective.
Not effective. Yeah. The next thing the government can do is that build on some of the existing tech hubs, innovation hubs, which are mainly there in India around universities, around academic institutions, and even private industry. So these needs to be these things need to be encouraged.
So I've got one more question on startups before I move to a few personal questions for you. You know, we don't talk about accepting failure, and I have a new book coming out on failure. When I read about acceptance of failure in the US or Israel, etc., it is far, far better than what we have in India. How important is it for us to teach startup entrepreneurs that it's okay to fail? It's not the end of the world.
See, let me tell you, this is a culture.
Correct.
This is a culture that the failure is not tolerated.
We are all told first time.
This is a cultural problem. You see any government programs will fail. I'm not saying all programs, they can't succeed. And have you seen any newspaper report that X government program failed?
Never.
I don't think so.
Never.
Have you ever seen a report that this is a large corporate, they made a mistake? It rarely happens.
Yeah.
Although you can see that the company is failed, we still keep flogging the dead horse. Mm. So that's a cultural issue.
Correct.
Number two, now it's important that we educate our startups, educate our entrepreneurs that failure is a possibility. And how do you prepare them for that
failure
or that eventuality when they don't succeed. Number one is the risk capital.
Correct.
Now, most of them, they go to financial institutions or investors, and when they are not able to do well, they still have to repay either the debt which they have taken.
Correct.
Or the commitments which they have made to the investors.
Yeah.
So there's no mechanism by which we can let them go peacefully. Okay, we are sorry, it didn't work out, shake hands, leave it. And so that experience itself becomes very,
correct,
very dreadful.
Correct.
Now, on the other hand, why the government doesn't, or why the government does not provide all that support, is that even the government officials are questioned when there's a failure.
I know.
That, see, you can't succeed in, when you know that two or three out of them will make it, rest of them are going to fail. Mm. So you must build in those provisions even in the
And you're absolutely right. I mean, the person who's given the approval should not be penalized. The person who's given the money should not be penalized.
Yes.
And the poor entrepreneur who does not start off with the objective of failing, he or she is in any case going through a shock.
Yes.
And then all the other things come from around.
Yes.
So very good points. So I've got a few more.
One last thing I would like to say is
absolutely
that even today in government, we don't prefer to invest.
Right.
We would rather give money as grant so that there are no questions asked if there's no return which is coming back, which is a wrong thing.
I agree.
See, when somebody can return the money and you can invest in somebody else, I think the government should be bold enough to...
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Very well said. So, Harkesh, a few questions for you now personally.
Sure.
You know, over the years, have you had any people who've had a strong influence on you? And if yes, what have been some of your learnings?
Okay. Well, as I said, the first one was Dr. Rawal.
Mm-hmm.
He, as I said, he seemed to know everything about small-scale industry.
Okay.
And 30 years later, I can tell you that this is more a message to the young entrepreneurs out of my story, that while knowledge is important, action is more important.
Okay.
So I did not act at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of that, I was cowed down by the fear of failure. And I decided to become a preacher rather than a practitioner.
Okay.
So that's my first learning.
Right. Right.
Then I had various people who have, I am motivated by young entrepreneurs. I am motivated by the vision and the energy they have. One name I would particularly like to take is Suhas Gopinath.
Mm-hmm.
He was the youngest entrepreneur in the world.
Wow.
He started at 13 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
And he was from a service class background.
Mm-hmm.
His father was a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in school when he started. He's a legend now. And his company valuation is close to about $600 million. And amazing. He's only about 25, 30 years of age.
Mm.
And he's one who has influenced my thoughts.
Okay.
Of course, I've had senior bosses who have been role models for
sure.
me. There was one gentleman when I joined the government first, Major Tyagarajan.
Mm.
Very energetic, very positive. And that's
very interesting. So my next question to you would be that with such an amazing career you've had with the government, what would be three adjectives that define Harkesh?
Well, that's a tough one. It is, number one is patience.
Okay.
So number two is, which is exactly opposite of patience, is aggression. When I say patience in terms of waiting for results, aggression in terms of what you intend to do today whether it can be done right now and what can be done tomorrow, whether that can be done today.
Okay.
So that was because the startups and especially the tech startups require that kind of
approach.
And I would also agree that I would have made mistakes in that hurry to take decisions, but that's how.
Okay. So my last question to you, and it comes back to failure. And you know, we spoke about culture, and I've often said that you know, because of the way we tell our children "sabse aage raho, first aana," that manifests itself in our behavior in traffic. My car must be right in front.
Yes.
At an aircraft, the moment group of Indians, everyone must be out first, even though there's one door, and so on and so forth. And yet we have all failed. You know, you've just said that, you know, you didn't want to become an entrepreneur because you had a fear. My question to you is that, what have been some of your learnings over the years from some of your mistakes or your failures?
See, as I said earlier, being patient for the results is something which we have, we don't have the knack for.
Mm.
So I think we want, if we start a startup today, we want the profits to come in tomorrow.
Correct.
So which is a quick return, quick, so that doesn't happen.
Which doesn't happen.
True. Which doesn't happen. It takes time, and sometimes a lot more time than one envisages in the beginning. So that's number one. But at the same time, being patient doesn't mean that you don't act.
Correct.
You can't simply relax and then expect things to happen.
They don't happen on their own.
They don't happen on their own. So you have to work towards it, which is a constant struggle. The second learning which I have seen is that most of the startups, they form teams with their friends and family.
Mm.
They don't take professional or what is the requirement of the company. They don't take that into consideration. But the immediate temptation is that he's been my school buddy.
Yeah.
He's been so they form,
or even family members.
So then you are reducing the chances of success of a startup. So that's the second thing, which
okay.
is the third thing which I have seen is that although in remote areas people don't understand the difference between turnover and profit,
mm-hmm.
but I have seen that happen even in the most qualified startups, tech startups. I remember long back, way back in 84, 85, I was working in Sikkim.
Mm-hmm.
So this fellow had started an ice cream parlor. So first day his sale was, let's say, 400, 500 rupees. So he was jumping with joy that I have a profit of 500 rupees.
Amazing. Yeah.
So sometimes even the most qualified startups make that mistake of taking turnover as their profit.
Mm. Very interesting. So Harkish, thank you very much.
It's been an
absolute honor talking to you, and I sincerely hope you will continue to support thousands of more startups.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Mm. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for the Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.